Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, we're talking about birth and rebirth, about being born or born again. But we start with a story about the little ones who don't fare so well after they're born.
I put her to sleep and she never woke back up.
Meet Sasha Fontanes, a young mother whose baby Annie died when she was just shy of 4 months old. Sasha lives in Rochester, New York, a beautiful city with a very sad statistic. They have one of the highest infant mortality rates in the country. But what exactly is infant mortality?
So infant mortality is defined as the death of a live-born infant before his or her first birthday.
That's Dr. Wanda Barfield of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For the last decade, the U.S. infant mortality rate, the rate of babies who die before they reach the age of one, has been over 6 babies per 1,000 live births.
So annually in the U.S., it's about 27,000 infants that die due to infant mortality, which is a striking and terrible statistic given that in the United States, we have a lot of advanced medical technology.
Even more striking is that around the U.S., babies born to black mothers die about twice as often as babies born to white mothers. The numbers for Puerto Rican and Native American women are also significantly higher than those of white women around the country. But in Rochester, where Sasha lives, the numbers are even worse. Here, black and Latino babies sometimes die at 3 or almost 4 times the rate of Rochester's white babies. So I traveled to Rochester to find out why and to find out what people there are doing about it. I got in the car with Alicia Ostolosa, who's an outreach worker trying to change the outcomes for Rochester's babies.
So what area are we in now?
This is the west side.
This is the west side?
Yes.
Is this a poor community?
Yes, it is.
Alicia was taking me to meet Sasha, the young woman who lost her baby, Annie. Sasha lives on a street that looked pretty average for the area. Houses that were lived in, next to ones that were boarded up and strewn with garbage. I met Sasha on her front porch, along with her older daughter, 2-year-old Wally.
So how old were you when you got pregnant with your first baby?
18.
18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a planned pregnancy?
No, I didn't know.
You didn't know?
No. I found out because I was eating Hershey's with almonds with barbecue sauce. That's how I found out, because I was getting my regular period.
Sasha says she then immediately saw a doctor. Once it was confirmed, she started taking care of her pregnancy.
I took yoga classes. They was teaching me how to breastfeed the baby.
Tell me about the pregnancy with Annie.
It was heavy. I had a huge belly.
How much did she weigh when she was born?
6'11". She was real, real tiny, though. Everything, like, she was a full-term baby. She had premature diapers, premature clothes. I went and asked the doctor. I'm like, it looked like she was not growing. I'm like, is she growing? Like, is it me? And the doctor was like, everything's normal with her. That's all they kept telling me. But I knew something was wrong because she'll cry a lot. And the only way she'll stay asleep is when I put her in her stomach.
Now, it is recommended that babies not sleep on their stomachs.
If I lay her flat on her back, she wouldn't stay asleep. She'll just be crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. And as soon as I flipped her over on the car seat or on the bed or on the crib, she'll stop crying.
Sasha says she brought this up with her doctors and was told that Annie was just a colicky baby. Then, 5 days before baby Annie would have turned 4 months old, the unimaginable happened.
I put her to sleep, and she never woke back up.
That night, Sasha was awoken by her older daughter, Wally, who was crying. While Dad checked in on Wally, Sasha reached over to baby Annie.
When I touched her leg, it felt hard, so I thought I was just, like, dreaming or something, because I just finished waking up. But I wasn't. When I flipped her over, she had, like, gray patches in her face and stuff. And I tried to give her CPR, but it wouldn't work. And I tried to call 911, and then they took forever to get there. And then when the autopsy came back, they just said she died naturally. She died in her sleep.
Annie's death was ruled to be SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. But SIDS isn't so much a syndrome as it is a catch-all for any infant death that is unexplained by medical evidence after an autopsy. A SIDS diagnosis means there were no signs of neglect or pre-existing medical conditions that could have caused the death. Sasha says the death of baby Annie has affected her life deeply.
Now I'm more attached to my oldest than anything because I'd be scared that the same thing gonna happen. Like, I don't sleep. I watch everybody in the house sleep. I watch them. Like, I rarely sleep. I watch everybody, make sure everybody breathing and stuff.
After hearing Sasha's story, Alicia, the outreach worker, told us just how common these stories are in Rochester.
It's very common in the Rochester area. Yeah, I visit girls like this all the time. Yeah, it's sad, but it's happening. Last night, I was sleeping with my granddaughter, and I wasn't able to sleep because I was watching her constantly.
Alicia and I got back in the car. And as we drove away, I was surprised to see a place that I recognized.
We're literally like 5 blocks away from one of the hospitals. Less than 5 minutes away from her home is a program dedicated to young mothers. And yet here is Sasha, traumatized. I mean, it just feels so much like Rochester is like this ground zero of the story of infant mortality. And we've literally just stepped right in to the ground zero.
You guys are looking at me like I have the plague. I just want to give you some information. My name's Yolanda. I'm with the Perinatal Network.
If Rochester felt like ground zero for the story of infant mortality, I needed to speak to the people on the ground, people like Yolanda Sayers.
Insurance, right? And then we help out with parenting classes for moms and for dads. And I actually call myself a foot soldier, so where I am out in the community, walking the streets in targeted neighborhoods where I know that there's a high infant mortality rate, talking to anyone that will talk to me, to let them know about different programs that the city of Rochester offers to try to help reduce infant mortality so that mom can have the best, healthiest pregnancy that she can have.
Yolanda goes where she's needed, door to door, business to business, right up to people on the street. She works for the Perinatal Network, a local nonprofit partially funded by the state and federal governments. Through her job, Yolanda connects women who are at risk to various programs, including government services that women might not otherwise know about.
You think that may pertain to you?
So your sense is that on the ground,
yes,
women want the help.
They want the help.
What are the barriers if they want the help?
There's so many barriers that they don't know how to communicate with their doctor, transportation, or they're intimidated by the doctors alone. So
these are real concerns in the cluster of neighborhoods in central Rochester where Sasha lives and where Yolanda works. In parts of this area, the poverty rate is as high as 70% and unemployment reaches 40%. Poverty has long been thought of to be a major factor in infant mortality. In fact, the New York Times first reported about that in 1982. But over the last few years, research has started pointing to a biological contributor to infant mortality, toxic stress.
There is stress that gets overwhelming. And beyond that, there is stress that becomes toxic when you feel like you don't have any help, when you feel like no one cares, when you feel like no one is there for me. That's toxic stress.
This is Dr. Jeff Kazarowski, or Dr. K. He's a pediatrician and the president of the Children's Agenda, a nonprofit advocacy group focusing on children's health.
Neuroscientists, cognitive scientists, pediatricians, researchers have looked at this issue, and it is absolutely the case.
So we checked in with Dr. Barfield, the CDC doctor we heard from earlier.
The stress response areas in a pregnant woman occur both from her in terms of her own system, as well as the baby, as well as the placenta, which also has an ability to respond to stress with cortisol.
These stress hormones, like cortisol, then loop back and forth between the brain and the placenta, which can contribute to preterm birth, which is a leading cause of infant mortality. So I asked Sasha about what might have been causing her stress during her pregnancy with Annie.
Like not having a job, not being able to just get her whatever she needed at the time and the place. And I'm trying, but it's not working. And I was doing everything I had to. I was filling out applications, going to interviews and everything. And nobody would hire me just because I didn't have a GED or high school diploma. I will be without eating. I'll go down to my mom's house and eat, but then I'll make sure they'll have their like their milk, their diapers, their wipes, and everything they needed before I even had to eat.
So are you saying that there were some times
where I didn't eat to feed my kids? Yes.
There's incredible poverty in the city of Rochester. We're ranked 7th worst in the United States. But the story is very reflective of what's happening nationally for kids. I think
Dr. Kay is right about the high rates of poverty. In fact, a new report released by UNICEF shows that 1/3 of U.S. children live in poverty, an especially high number for a wealthy country. For Dr. Kay, this means that healthcare has to include a focus on the community.
There are things that we could really do around this issue of infant mortality. Home visitation for first-time parents, especially parents who are living in stressful situations. Really empowering the health and education of young women.
In the meantime, outreach workers like Yolanda and Alicia continue to be foot soldiers on the ground in Rochester, trying to keep other women from going through what Sasha experienced. If it was up to Dr. Kay, they would be able to do so much more.
We may never be able to save all babies, but we could do so much better. We could cut infant mortality rates in the United States down to where they are in other developed countries. And why wouldn't we want to do that? I can't imagine.
Our piece on infant mortality and Rochester was produced by Latino USA's Daisy Rosario. To hear more about the fight to decrease infant mortality in Rochester, check out my new PBS TV series, America by the Numbers with Maria Hinojosa. You can watch the full 30-minute episode on infant mortality on your local PBS station or the World Channel, or visit us at americabythenumbers.org.